John Davis filling in for Zat By today. We now go behind enemy lines, breaking down the Broncos and Saints game, and we are joined by Mike Triplett, ESPN Nation reporter for the Saints. And Mike, they did it last week with Taysom Hill. What was your big takeaway from what you saw last week?
Well, I mean, the overall big takeaway over a couple of years now is that this is a team that's built to win without just Drew Brees at quarterback, which has really changed from the past. There, you know, there, even the Super Bowl season and a lot of those great years in his prime when he was throwing for 5,000-plus yards, there was always this dread that if they didn't have Drew Brees, they'd be in trouble. But now they're a team that can do it with defense, can do it a little with run game, can do it with a good offensive line, and can do it with Teddy Bridgewater or Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston at quarterback, which is why they're in line to win the NFC South for the fourth year in a row. But Taysom specifically, I was really excited to watch him play. We only saw, I think, a little glimpse of what he can do with his legs because they were so determined to prove that he is actually a pocket quarterback, which is what people didn't give him enough credit for, I think, his time as at BYU and some of his preseasons before. He's not just a gadget run player. He can also be a passer.
Yeah, and we're joined by Mike Triplett, ESPN Nation reporter for the Saints. Mike, I was shocked. I mean, I was shocked when they decided to make that move. I thought Jameis would be a perfect quarterback for that type of system. And I thought Taysom, you know, when his role is perfect also, and then you just continue to do that until Drew Brees comes back. Were you shocked, and was you know, Saints country down there shocked as well?
Well, not shocked. That's a little strong because – you know, this wouldn't have surprised us if Drew Brees had gotten hurt in the summer, if Drew Brees had retired. They've been saying all along, and they paid Taysom Hill 2 years, $21 million on his last contract. I mean, they've always said they view him as a starting NFL quarterback. The surprise with me was I just thought it might be a little bigger transition to having him run the offense that is something he couldn't just do on a week's notice. That's why Jameis Winston went in at halftime last week. Jameis was more of the smooth transition once they already had their game plan installed. But aside from that, I mean, Sean Payton has made it clear how much he believes in Taysom Hill. The Saints have made it clear. And it was really his turn. I mean, Jameis Winston is the guy who just showed up. Taysom Hill's the one who's been here for 4 years. You know, he's patiently said, I'll play these other positions in the meantime. But the end game was always to become, you know, a backup quarterback with the chance to be a starting quarterback.
And Mike, last week the Broncos defense was able to overwhelm Tua down with Miami to the point where it got him benched and pulled from the game. With Taysom Hill, is there a chance, could anything happen where he gets pulled from the game and they do insert Jameis Winston if Taysom's struggling?
I don't think he is on a super short leash because they know there's going to be potential growing pains with his lack of experience. But, I mean, based on that example that you just gave, you can never say never. I would never have expected Tua to get benched. I thought it was his gig to, you know, for the rest of the year to experience the highs and lows. So I guess there is a scenario like that where if it's just not working out, you do have a great alternate in Jameis Winston. But I don't think the plan is for Taysom Hill to be one bad series or one bad quarter away from being benched.
We're joined here by Mike Triplett, ESPN Nation reporter for the New Orleans Saints. Mike, talking about the Saints defense now, you know, you look at their defense, and every game it seems like I watch, they make so many penalties. You know, Janoris Jenkins, there's so many penalties against that secondary. But they got a good group, and they got after the Atlanta Falcons last week. Talk about that defense and how they were able to get after Matt Ryan and that great passing game that the Falcons have.
Yeah, they've been dominant the last 3 weeks now, especially if you saw that Sunday night game against Tampa Bay a couple weeks ago, but really ever since. And this is kind of how they were playing last year, especially during that stretch when Drew Brees missed five games and they still went 5-0. Early in the season, they were going through some sort of uncharacteristic struggles. Like you said, there was just an egregious amount of pass interference penalties for the first three or four games. Then from about weeks 3 through 7, they were given up a deep pass almost every week with a busted coverage. But aside from those sort of issues that crept up too often for them, they have really gotten their act together for the last 3 or 4 weeks now and become one of the top defense in the league. One thing that I don't think people realize about them, this is 3 years in a row now they've been one of the elite run defenses in the NFL. They're only allowing about 78 yards a game rushing, number two in the league, just behind Tampa Bay. And that's been the case for really three-plus years now.
We've got Mike Triplett, Saints reporter for ESPN Nation. So, Mike, this year, and I know Drew Brees is out, and he'll be back at some point, but Michael Thomas was injured. Then they didn't have Emmanuel. I think they're right there with the Chiefs as the best team in the league. Do the Saints feel that the best is still yet to come with this team this year?
Well, I would say in general, the second half of the season will be a better half of the season than the first half was. They played some lousy games in the first half of the season and barely scratched by a few of them. But like I mentioned, that Tampa Bay game, when they went into Tampa and won 38-3, I think that was when, you know, everybody was at least on the field. We found out later we just had broken some ribs in that game. But that's what they can look like. For better or for worse, they've been kind of scratching by a lot of these wins this year, and that's a good thing. I mean, they were down 14 at Detroit. They were down 17 against the Chargers. They were down this last week against Atlanta at home before they scored a touchdown to take a 10-9 lead at halftime. They've really had to, you know, gut out some wins, overtime against the Bears, overtime against the Chargers. But that's also sort of proof that this is a team that's capable of winning in a number of different ways and winning even when they're not having their best day. So, yeah, when they look great and the defense and the offense are playing great at the same time and they're healthy, then they are right up there with the Chiefs. But I think it's probably pretty admirable that they also find ways to win when they're not having a complete performance.
Yeah, they've had to battle out some wins this year. And Mike Triplett, ESPN Nation reporter for the Saints, joins us. Mike, what's the sentiment around Emmanuel Sanders and what he's brought to that Saints offense this year?
I think he's a perfect fit for this offense. He admitted that it took him a little while to get adjusted to, you know, such a complex playbook with so many different shifts and formations. So he got off to a slow start for a week or two, really started to break out. I want to say around weeks four, five, six, and then he had missed the two games because he tested positive for COVID, and then they switched quarterbacks a couple times. So there have been a lot of stops and starts with him, but in those occasions where he's been able to get in a groove, and he actually caught a 57-yard touchdown pass from Taysom Hill last week that was nullified by holding. They've needed a number two receiver like him to take some of the pressure off Michael Thomas, and I think he's the ideal one, the kind of player they love in this offense. He's always been known as a great route runner. He can do those intermediate routes, third and short, run after the catch. They had a guy named Lance Moore who was really successful at them for years. He reminds me of that style of player. He's really a perfect fit for this offense.
Mike, thank you so much for joining us today. It's going to be an interesting game this week in Sean Payton versus Vic Fangio, so we're excited to watch it. Thank you.
I believe, I should have looked this up before, I think it's the only team Sean Payton has not beat. So,
wow.
I don't know if he's
about that?
The guy who has that circled in red on his list. But,
oh, he knows it. You know he knows it. He knows it. That's awesome. Thanks a lot, Mike. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, thank you.